You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo! Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo!
The Bills make me wanna shout!
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I'm your host, Nate. Thank you guys so much for joining us on this post-free agency discussion on all the free agents that were signed this week, some contract extensions, some news within the division, particularly Tom Brady leaving the division, and just a bunch of information we want to talk about this episode. I'm joined here by my co-host for today, John. John, how's it going?
Going great, Nate. How about those Buffalo Bills? You dig?
Yeah, I dig, buddy. We were going to talk a lot about Stephon Diggs, the Stephon Diggs trade, probably one of the most important, obviously, signings in potentially the last 3 years of the McDermott Bean era. And we're going to talk about some other things. Obviously, all the guys that were signed this last week, give a couple of thoughts on each one. But I thought it'd be fun if we took the time to do a little. I mean, just think about it. Everyone, for the most part, within Bills community is saying a lot of positive things about this free agency period. I mean, we didn't lose a whole lot, and we gained a lot of talent. So I thought it'd be fun if after each one of these guys, because you know, like every single tweet out there where 99% of Bills fans are positive, or every Facebook thread, or every area on message boards, everyone loves something. There's always that one guy who doesn't like the move for whatever reason, is always negative, can't get past it, has something trolling to say. So we're going to say something trolling and negative about each one of these picks too, just to keep within that realm. I guarantee we're going to like each one of these picks together, but I think we got to say something negative about each one. All right. We're going to go, Michael Scott style.
Boom. Roasted.
For, you know, these players to say something negative about him, because, you know, not everything's positive, and, you know, there's a whiner line within each one of us. So, all right, let's start first. Before I even get into the Stephon Diggs trade and that discussion, I want to give a lot of props to Bruce of the Nick and Nolan show for doing breaking podcasts after each free agent signing throughout this past week. I mean, the guy was just a warrior and did, like, I want to say at least 4 podcasts of breaking news for each free agent that was signed every night. And Brandon Bean pretty much only did his work at night. So the guy's doing podcasts at 10, 11 at night on work days. So, huge props to Bruce. He did an amazing job for the network and he just always gives some really great, insightful perspective of each of these guys. And it's really good. Also, I have to give a lot of props to the writers over at BuffaloRumblings.com. I mean, one of the great things about the site is they have a free agent tracker. So they have rumors, actual free agent signings, stuff like that. They not only go into extensions, former Bills that signed with new teams, they take care of all of that. So it's really great to have such a great staff, work with such a great staff that has all that information on hand. Easy. Matt and the guys over there at BuffaloRumblings.com do such a great job of putting up articles daily and also tracking everything, contract details, you know, film analysis. I mean, they do everything over there. So I want to give a lot of props to those. But let's talk first off, John, about the Stephon Diggs trade that had happened. Now, oddly enough, you and I talked a couple of weeks ago. We were talking under the radar wide receivers. We brought up the Stephon Diggs. You brought up a potential Stephon Diggs trade. and what would we be willing to give up for it? And you weren't so sure about a first-round pick. I was definitely okay with a first-round pick. I said, you know, it's probably going to be a first and more. It ended up being a first and more. It was a first-round pick this year, a fifth-round pick this year, a sixth-round pick this year, and next year's fourth-round pick for Stephon Diggs and a seventh-round pick this year. But really, they already had two fifth- and sixth-round picks, so they only got rid of one of each of those extra picks. So kind of a wash there, not that big of a deal. I mean, if you lump in all those picks together, I think Matt had mentioned on the Q&A podcast earlier this week, that ends up being the 18th overall pick in the NFL draft this season. And the Bills obviously didn't feel like at 22 they could get a wide receiver of that caliber, of a Stephon Diggs caliber, within the first round, and they weren't willing to risk it, so they decided to trade for a guy that honestly didn't really want to be there. It sounded like throughout midway through this last season, people thought he was going to be traded. He ended up not being. There were rumors of sightings at Duff's earlier this year over Twitter, and he clearly was ready. He was done. He didn't want to be there anymore. The Bills now have a bona fide, in my opinion, a bona fide number one wide receiver. This is a thing where the Bills have been looking to get this kind of wide receiver for a while. You cannot blame Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott for trying to get this guy over the last three seasons. I mean, whether it's been, like, remember they traded for Kelvin Benjamin their first season. They signed guys like Corey Coleman, cast-offs, first-round picks, Corey Coleman. They drafted Zay Jones. I mean, there were rumors circulating about the Bills having interest in Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham Jr. So it's not like they haven't done their due diligence and tried to get a guy like this in the past, but up until this point, they haven't. They've gotten a guy like this. It allows John Brown and Cole Beasley to take, I think, more effective roles and take a lot of pressure off of them to perform at a high level. And I think this, you know, this gives them this bona fide number one wide receiver that they've been looking for. And I was really happy with his signing, and I was really psyched about it. What'd you think, John?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're, in all likelihood, I mean, there's a really great chance they were going to take a receiver with a first-round pick anyway. Diggs is a proven commodity. Excellent route runner. Instant number one receiver for them. I mean, when was the last time they had a number one receiver? Was it Eric Moults?
Would you count Lee Evans as a number one wide receiver, or was he more of like a John Brown-like player? Right,
I could go either way on Evans. I guess. I mean,
he was a good player. He wasn't an Eric Moults for sure. And Stephon Diggs is, you know, he doesn't have the size of Eric Moults at all. You know, very few receivers do, but he does. He's finally we have a receiver that's over 6 foot. You know, in the wide receiving core, yeah. John Brown being 5'10", Cole Beasley 5'8".
Yeah, and Diggs plays bigger than he is too. He does well with contested balls. You know, he's also got like really good yards, per catch. He runs a lot of deep routes and does well with that. And between him, Brown and Beasley, I mean, that's a really good trio to have, I think.
Yeah. Well, you and I were talking about our under the radar wide receivers. We really like DeMarcus Robinson for his ability to get yards after the catch. Whereas this is something that Stephon Diggs excels at, and the Bills as a team were ranked second last in the league for yards after catch. So this was something that they needed to upgrade, and they upgraded in every single possible way. They got youth at the position because Stephon Diggs is only 26 years old. Cole Beasley and John Brown this year will be over 30 years old. So you got youth at the position. You got a number one wide receiver. You got yards after catch. You got a contract that right now, and by the way, he was touted as a top 10 wide receiver. And this is coming from the Vikings beat writer, Chad Graff of The Athletic. He called him a top 10 wide receiver. Now, the guys, if you read the articles of the Vikings guys over The Athletic, they're like, this was a good trade for the Vikings because, you know, this and that, like they got a boatload of picks and this and that. And it was like, eh, you know, I think it was still, you have to say that was positive because they felt like he was on his way out anyway. But I mean, this isn't like, it wasn't like Stephon Diggs is a rental player. Like you don't get him for a year and then you have to decide what to do with him. He has 4 years left on his contract. And this is a very, very salary friendly contract at this point at roughly $12 million a year. When you're looking at, I mean, I was looking at contracts in like the top 15, 20 guys, you know, at the position, and they're making so much more per year than Stephon Diggs. I mean, just look at Amari Cooper. He got a 5-year, $100 million contract. That's $20 million per year on average. That's almost twice what Stephon Diggs is making. And I you could argue that Stephon Diggs is potentially a better wide receiver than Amari Cooper at this point in their careers.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't even think about it like that. I didn't know those contract numbers. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's looking for a restructure along with the trade. But with that many years left on his contract, that doesn't seem likely at this point, I wouldn't think.
Yeah. Well, so this is interesting. This is something that Chad Graff from The Athletic wrote. Is he wrote, for the Vikings, Diggs had become one of their best success stories. He was drafted in the fifth round, a steal from Minnesota, which helped develop Diggs into one of the best receivers in the NFL. He's widely seen as one of the best route runners in the league and consistently is one of the best at contested catches, which is awesome. In a weird way, perhaps, that's why it didn't work out for Diggs in Minnesota. For all Kirk Cousins' strengths, he rarely floats up 50-50 balls or puts it in a tight window for his receivers to make a play. That's where Diggs excels. And I thought that was a really interesting quote from Chad Graff of The Athletic, because I think that you saw at the end, if anything was clear, it was that playoff game where Josh Allen gave Duke Williams 10 targets, and there were a lot of 50-50 balls that he left for him to potentially go up and get. Now, Duke only came down with 4 of those targets, but it showed that for the right guy, and hopefully this is Stephon Diggs, that he will put the ball up and let his receiver try to make a play on the ball. And that's something that I think Kirk Cousins didn't do, apparently, and that's something that Josh Allen, I think, you know, and that's something he needs to take another step in, is throwing receivers open and throwing up the contested catches like that. You know, I'm not talking about the contested catches against Patrick DeMarco and double coverage, you know, 40 yards down the field, contested, you know, catches. I'm talking Stephon Diggs one-on-one against a corner or a safety and, you know, putting it up there. You know what I mean, John?
Yeah. Thanks for reminding me of that play.
Yep. So Josh will throw it up to his fullback, you know, 4 years down the field. But, you know, Stephon Diggs, I think, like I said, I couldn't be happier. You're getting a guy with 4 years left on his contract. That's ridiculous. It's such a cost-controlled contract. And you're getting him for the long term. And this is potentially, like you said, the best receiver the Bills have had on the roster since Eric Mould. So we both love the contract sign or the trade. Do you think that the Bills gave up too much for him? Or do you think that that was around what they should have given up for him, and they didn't give up too much?
I think it's fine. I think it's probably good for both sides, actually.
So we talked about all the things that we liked about this trade. Let's roast it real quick. This is something that Brandon Bean, if you think Brandon Bean, you're just going to get off this trade easily, you might get 1 year of this guy, and he's going to ask for a new contract. This reminds me a little bit of when the Bills traded for LeSean McCoy. And again, I'm playing devil's advocate here. When the Bills traded for LeSean McCoy didn't want to come here. It sounded like a great deal. And they ended up making him like the highest paid running back in the league within that offseason just to get him to come here. He's like, okay, I'll be here now. Well, gee, thanks, LeSean. Thanks for doing us a favor. So it went from being a really good trade to we gave up a lot for that trade. So Stephon Diggs right now is on a great contract. If it's not this offseason, or if it's not, he hasn't reported yet. Maybe he doesn't report yet until he gets a new contract, because you know he can. Or maybe he waits a year. Eventually, he's going to need that new contract. And so all of a sudden, this goes from being a good trade to a not so good trade.
Boom. Roasted.
So, you know, something that Bean and McDermott really have to worry about this coming season.
Wait, what did we give up for McCoy? Was it Kiko?
It was just Kiko.
Yeah, that wasn't a bad trade.
Well, LeSean McCoy was a good, okay, it was a good trade. It was a good trade, but you're also talking, he was like $7 million a year or whatever the case was when he came here. All of a sudden, you know, like with 3 years left on his deal, now he goes to a $9 million a year player with 5 years left on his deal. So it just ended up not being such a, I mean, he was 31 when he left here, the last year of his contract. He signed a contract through age 32, which is ancient for running backs. So I don't know.
He just won a Super Bowl.
He did just win a Super Bowl. You're right. Right, good for him. He didn't. He wasn't active, but he did just win a Super Bowl. All right, all right. Let's go. Oh, did you see? And you saw the Family Feud soundbite for Stephon Diggs, right?
Finish this phrase. Leave it what?
In.
Name something specific. Let some specific people put it. I got outfits. Is this real? Oh my God.
All right, let's talk about the first. Let's talk about. Let's go from signings as to when they actually happened, as far as time frame wise. Let's talk about AJ Klein real quick. We won't talk about Josh Norman because that's been discussed. It was a couple of weeks ago at this point. But let's talk about AJ Klein. The Bills' first free agent signing was AJ Klein, formerly of the New Orleans Saints and formerly of the Carolina Panthers. He agreed to a 3-year deal of $18 million. And so he's basically a linebacker that that Sean McDermott worked with from, you know, obviously the Carolina Panthers tree of players that the Bills like to pick from. He is set to replace Lorenzo Alexander as a will linebacker. And this is just a position. I mean, luckily, he's only 29, a lot younger than Lorenzo Alexander was when he left, but, you know, a lot more tread in the tires. The expectation is he's going to play that role where he's not going to get as many snaps on defense as he did in New Orleans. So this is a guy that's just basically fills a role. He competes with guys like Corey Thompson, you know, Voshon Joseph. This is a guy who's basically the projected starter for the Bills at that strong side linebacker role, and just won't have to play as many snaps as he did in New Orleans. And I think this is a good signing. Don't have a lot of positive or negative things to say about this. Just fills a need. What do you think, John?
Hashtag championship.
I will say, though, that the Bills, like, as devil's advocate here, trolling comment for AJ Klein. I mean, this is a guy that's filling Lorenzo Alexander's role. He is expensive compared to Lorenzo Alexander. I think Lorenzo Alexander in his last year was making like $3 or $4 million. This guy's averaging $6 million a year for the same role, and he doesn't play special teams. So, hey, you know, like a little bit overpaying for this.
Boom. Roasted.
Let's go on to the... That wasn't a very good roast. Gonna be honest.
It's not overpaying. It's just the, you know, the increase year to year pay increases, right?
Yeah. So it's paying more. Yes.
Salary cap just went up. So everybody's salary increases.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. That doesn't go good with my roast, John. But that makes sense a little bit. Everyone makes a little bit more money. Blah blah blah. Inflation. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Whatever. Anyway. Anyway. Stop bringing logic into this troll job. Okay. Mario Addison, let's go right now into the one of the biggest, I think potentially the biggest free agent signing is former Carolina Panthers defensive end Mario Addison. Now, this was the second free agent signing for the Buffalo Bills. Addison has a deal for $30 million over 3 years. So this is technically, it's almost identical to the contract that former Bills defensive end Shaq Lawson left the Bills for the Dolphins, to the Dolphins for $30 million over 3 years. Addison is going to be 33 years old in September. He entered the league as an undrafted free agent. He kind of got a late start in his career, and but he's a leader in the locker room. You're talking about a guy who, over the last four seasons, has had at least 9 sacks. And since 2013, he's averaged 8 sacks, 14 quarterback hits, and 7 tackles for loss per season. So this is a guy who basically we were hoping Shaq Lawson would turn into. Shaq Lawson's never had a 9 sack season. His highest total sacks in any season was last year when he had 6.5 sacks, which I will contend that at least 2 to 3 of those sacks he was completely unblocked for. I think we mentioned those in the post game recaps, where although, you know, there's one game where Shaq Lawson had 2 sacks, and I was like, yeah, but at least one of those, he was completely unblocked. Not saying it wasn't a sack, but at the same time, can you give him the same amount of credit as a guy that bends around the edge of the left tackle, you know, finds a way to get into the quarterback or makes a really good bull rush move, as opposed to a guy that just went unblocked, you know? So I was really excited about this signing. Sure, I'd prefer he not be 33 when the year starts, but he's already done more than Shaq Lawson is. His floor is where we were hoping Shaq Lawson's ceiling would be. So one-for-one replacement. I like this signing. I think this was a great signing. I'm hoping that he can continue this, and this isn't a big hopefully it's not a big nosedive in his career from where he has been. What did you think, John?
Yeah, I agree. You know, Lawson was, you know, really solid against the run, but it was one-dimensional. He can, you know, the pass rushing wasn't quite there. I think Addison brings that, and you know, he's like you said, you know, he'll be good in the locker room, and he's kind of like a stopgap. You know, he'll be there for a couple of years, and they can draft somebody and kind of bring him up behind him.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It gives them time to draft somebody in the second, third, or fourth round and have them develop behind them for sure. It's funny you mentioned about Shaq Lawson. He was definitely better against the run than the pass. But you don't, if you had a choice between giving a guy a $30 million contract, a guy that's good against the run or good against the pass, I mean, which one are you going to weigh more on if you have a choice?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough too because the Bills obviously still need help against the run, like still haven't been great against it. So it's kind of hard giving up a player like that. But I think Addison is a little bit more, can do a little bit more of both, I guess. If that, yes. You know, maybe he's not as good against the run, but he's adequate, but can still bring in the pass rush. So maybe some of these other defensive linemen tackles that they brought in can kind of help more against the run.
I would all day rather take a defensive end that has the ability to rush the passer and is also good in run defense, but less good in run defense than pass rushing. So it's like if this guy's, you know, if Shaq Lawson is really good at run defense, but okay at pass rush, like I'd rather take the opposite of that, which sounds like Mario Addison with a little bit of age, you know? So I think this is the guy that they were hoping that Shaq Lawson would turn into. So I like the pick. If I'm going to troll it, if I'm going to roast it, the guy's going to be 33 in September, guys. Like, what are you thinking signing a guy to a 3-year contract? And then, like, the guy's ancient. Like, what? Like, you guys are going to sign old Carolina Panthers. What? Retired defensive end Julius Peppers didn't want any of that? You know, like, what? You're not going to pull him out of retirement at 44?
Boom. Roasted.
The stopgap.
All right, that wasn't that good. The roasts are going to get better as time goes on. At least I can only hope that they will. So the next key signing for the Buffalo Bills was linebacker Tyler Medikevich. Medikevich. It's a mouthful.
That's what she said.
So the Bills basically signed Medikevich as a linebacker and core special teams player. The guy basically led the league last season in special teams tackles with 16 special teams tackles. In 2018, he had 10 tackles on special teams. 2017, he led the team and had 2 blocked punts. So, I mean, he's 27 years old. The Bills got him for a 2-year, $9 million contract. He's basically a special teams ace. Like, you're looking at this guy to not allow any touchdowns in the return game. So, if you're looking for a guy that's replacing, you know, the special teams added value that Lorenzo Alexander brought, you're looking at Tyler Medikevich. And there's not a ton to talk about him. He is also the backup middle linebacker at this point for Tremaine Edmonds. So that's something to note as well. And if you're wondering if he's a good backup middle linebacker, I will give you this grade from the always reliable Pro Football Focus group at profootballfocus.com. John, if you had to guess, John just rolled his eyes right there. John, if you had to guess where Tyler Medikevich ranked in linebackers out of like the 100 linebackers or whatever there are in the league, what do you think, what ranking do you think they gave him? They liked him, by the way. What ranking do you think they gave him?
93.
He had literally 20 defensive snaps last year. He is the 11th ranked linebacker in Pro Football Focus.
Seems like a small sample size.
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you? 20 defensive snaps, and you're giving him the... So there's literally, like, I'm trying to think of the best linebackers. Like, Tremaine Edmonds is ranked... Matt Milano is ranked behind Tyler Medicevich by Pro Football Focus standards. Just in case you ever questioned the validity of grades, he is the 11th ranked. Oh, so he should basically be starting then over Tremaine Edmonds, right, based on that logic? All right. Anyway, going on, Buffalo Bills, the next free agent signing for the Buffalo Bills is defensive lineman Quinton Jefferson of the Seattle Seahawks. Now, this the reason why this is interesting is because this is the first major signing of the Buffalo Bills where none of the Bills' major, big at least the more important coaching staff members had coached at one point in their career, because there's nobody on the Buffalo Bills' defense, at least a defensive coordinator, defensive line coach, or whatever, that worked with the Seattle Seahawks. So this is kind of an interesting signing from that point of view, because up until then, if you think about A.J. Klein, former Carolina Panther, Mario Addison, former Carolina Panther, Josh Norman, former Carolina Panther. Like, these are all guys that the Bills coaching staff has worked with, but Quinton Jefferson is not. So you talk about a guy that has a lot of versatility as defensive tackle. He signed a 2-year deal for I believe, $18 million, $19 million. I can't remember. It's not really reported right here, but you're talking about a guy that has a lot of versatility. And he, even though he's a 3-4 defensive end for Seattle scheme, he played a lot of different rotations. And we're thinking that this is going to be the guy who is a 3-technique defensive tackle behind Ed Oliver. Now, I think this is something that could be interesting, because I think he could play along Ed Oliver on the defensive line on passing downs, because ESPN has this interesting stat called pass block win rate, where obviously it's just like it sounds, like how many times, or I guess, you know, the consistency which they can win a block on a passing down. And top five rankings were some guys that you've definitely heard before. You're talking Aaron Donald, right? Top five. So the fifth best was Quinton Jefferson of the Seattle Seahawks and pass block win rate. Right behind him at number seven was Ed Oliver, pass block win rate. So you're talking about a guy that they can fit on the defensive line on passing downs to get after the quarterback, along with Jerry Hughes and Mario Addison, which we mentioned earlier. So this role, when you know it's an obvious passing down at least, has some potential to really get after the quarterback in four-man fronts. So this is a guy who started his career on the bench, and over the past couple of years, he's started in 30 games. He had 51 tackles, 9 tackles for loss, and 6.5 sacks. So this is a guy who could potentially, you know, bring a lot of, you know, when Ed Oliver is taken out or whatever during running downs or on passing downs, this guy can make a difference. And it sounds like a really interesting signing for the Buffalo Bills, especially one that wasn't a former Carolina Panther. And it's very interesting. I think this is one of those diamonds in the rough that the Bills tend to find for a 2-year deal. If it works out, great. If it doesn't, it's probably something they can get out from within a year. John, do you pretty much agree with those sentiments for Bill's new defensive tackle, Quinton Jefferson?
Hashtag championship.
thanks for that. So if I'm going to troll this pick or this free agent signing, I'm going to say that this is a guy that he couldn't, after the Bills or after the Seahawks lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville, the guy wanted to go fight a fan, Ron Artest style, in the crowd, and he got so far as like pulling himself up to almost the bleachers before he was pulled down by several security guys.
Jacksonville fan going at Jefferson, and you don't want to get their security there. You don't want them to get involved. And he's been ejected. He should be headed to the locker room.
Now they need to get somebody from the Seattle staff to walk Quinton Jefferson into the locker room.
And look, somebody threw something at him from the stands and it landed on. Security needs to take care of this.
And it's like, you know, like, Brandon B., what are you thinking, man? Like, this guy, this happens in another stadium. You're talking about an all-out brawl.
Boom. Roasted.
Like, okay, I don't have a good roast for this one, okay? I don't have a... this one's not so easy because I really like the signing. And I really don't like Jaguars fans, because if you've ever been on Twitter, like, first of all, Jaguars fans never show up for games, but they show up all over Twitter for some reason. So if I ever have anything negative to say about the Jaguars on our Circling the Wagons Twitter account, like, they just come out of nowhere. They're just like the biggest trolls out there. So I really like this signing. I don't have a lot of negative things to say about it, except for the fact that you basically paid a guy as much as it took to, as much as it would have taken to keep Jordan Phillips. So you're really banking on this guy being better than Jordan Phillips, because right now, you're paying him just about as much as Jordan Phillips. And the same thing with the Mario Addison signing. You're paying him just as much as, you know, you would have been paying Shaq Lawson if you kept him. So hopefully it works out for you guys.
He's just passionate, Nate.
He's passionate. He's passionate about a beatdown. the next major signing was defensive tackle Vernon Butler, who is, surprise, surprise, another former Carolina Panther defensive tackle. He signed a 2-year contract for $18 million. He turns 26 this season, former first-round pick. Similar situation as with Shaq Lawson. He was not given the fifth-year option by the Carolina Panthers, but in his contract season, he had his best season to date. He had, in his final season, in his last season with the Carolina Panthers, he started 9 games, had 6 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, and 32 tackles. So, going along with this, he's basically, they're looking for him to potentially be the one technique role behind Starla Tulele and Harrison Phillips. And I'm thinking that this is more depth just in case Harrison Phillips isn't completely healthy from his ACL tear last season. And I'm thinking, they're thinking, okay, well, we're not going to get rid of Starla Tulele. He's on the former Carolina Panther, Starla Tulele. He's on the roster no matter what. Harrison Phillips is on the roster no matter what. They're just covering all their bases, dotting all their I's, crossing all their T's, make sure that they have enough depth at defensive tackle that they can have someone. They have 3 guys right now at 1 technique, 2 guys at 3 technique, and they're just covering all their bases now with the signing of Vernon Butler. And, you know, to be honest, the Bills signed former Carolina Panthers defensive coordinator and defensive line coach Eric Washington this offseason. So you got to think that when they signed Vernon Butler and Mario Addison, they asked Eric, hey, Eric, we liked them while we were in Carolina. Do they still have enough gas left in the tank to make an impact over the next 2 seasons? And I'm guessing that Eric Washington gave them the okay on that before they made those signings. So what do you think, John?
Hashtag championship.
I'm so glad I have you on this podcast to give the best insight. So the Bills re-signed running back Tywan Jones. Also, he was the last free agent signing as of the time that we're recording this on Sunday night. And I mean, there's not much to really say about that, except the Bills signed him to a 1-year contract. He is a special teams guy. He helps them in that capacity, and he also is a backup running back for the Bills. So he's always had issues with injuries over his career, but in the spots he's had a chance to be on offense, he's shown something. Like there was the play in the overtime loss that the Bills had against the Texans in the playoffs, where Deshaun Watson almost got tackled or almost got sacked by Saran Neal and Matt Milano, and he ended up getting the pass off to Tywan Jones, who had the 34-yard reception and put the Texans in position for the game-winning field goal. So, you know, and there was also, you know, somebody on the Buffalo Rumblings message board brought this up, which I'm so happy that they did, that they said they never forgot the game-sealing first down run against the Tampa Bay Bucks that he mentioned. This is from Kansas City Bills fan 24, wrote that without that win, we don't break the drought. So I love that. I remember Tywan Jones from that play specifically for the Bills beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Orchard Park, which they shouldn't have won that game. But Tywan Jones found a way to make a first down out of nothing on that run. So anyway, there's not much to say about that. Did I roast the the Vernon Butler signing? No, I didn't. I got a roast of Vernon Butler signing. Okay. All right, here we go. You've basically you've signed 3 guys to replace 2 guys, Brandon Bean. You've taken Vernon Butler, Mario Addison, and Quentin Jefferson to replace Shaq Lawson and Jordan Phillips. Congratulations, you have 3 guys to replace 2 and about $10 million more in contracts this year.
Boom. Roasted.
But that all said, I still like a lot of these signings, even though, you know, I had to troll them a little bit in one way or another. So
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
First, real quick, let's talk about our Jordan Poyer extension this past week. Jordan Poyer got a 2-year extension for $20 million, but basically it is a 2-year extension onto his this next season into the contract. And, you know, I mentioned with Matthew Fairburn of The Athletic last week that I wondered if Jordan Poyer would get his extension or not, because Rachel Bush, his very famous Instagram wife, mentioned that he expects to get paid and this and that. I wondered if Jordan Poyer was going to potentially sit out the 2020 season, but it doesn't look like he's going to. The Bills are going to keep him intact for this season and then the next two seasons after that. This was a guy that was completely underpaid in the contract that he signed when he came from Cleveland to Buffalo, and it's good that he's finally getting paid the way he wants to. And I think it sends a message throughout the locker room that, you know, hey, if you perform and you do well and you exceed your contract, that we will reward you. So, John, is that kind of what you thought with the Jordan Poyer extension? Did you like it? What were your thoughts?
Yeah, you said it. Good extension. I mean, he's, you know, one of the many hearts of the team, and I just think it was good. He's a good player.
Yeah, it's really hard to think of a time that Jordan Poyer was out of position or really let up a big play. You know, him and Micah Hyde are so good back there. And, the one that does come to mind is the one touchdown against the Baltimore Ravens, where it was Mark Andrews, the tight end, like Jordan Poyer missed. He bit on like a play action and Andrews was wide open and he got like a 65-yard touchdown. But literally that's the only one I can think of since he's been signed here to the Buffalo Bills in the last three seasons. So, that was such a great value signing for Brandon Bean, and I've been really happy with what he's done in free agency and in the draft, obviously. So let's talk real quick about Jordan Phillips and Shaq Lawson leaving. Both signed 3-year contracts for $30 million. Jordan Phillips signed with the Arizona Cardinals. Shaq Lawson signed with the Miami Dolphins. These are guys which I expect to be starters on the defensive line, whereas here in Buffalo, they were not starters, and they had pretty decent seasons. Not sure I trusted either of their last seasons as Buffalo Bills. They both had career years this last season, and I'm not sure if that was something that was sustainable or something that was scheme-based by the Buffalo Bills. I think their defensive line had a good year overall, and I think that they did well. I think they benefited from a lot of the scheme that went on, and I'm okay with the Bills not extending them, and I'm okay seeing them walk on other teams. Obviously, you know, I wish them the best. I enjoyed their time here. I think they brought a lot of swagger to the team, and I think they were good presences. They both had a good presence within the locker room, but I don't think I would have been willing to pay them what they got in the open market. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I agree. Phillips, especially, he had a really outstanding career year for him, and I don't think it was necessarily sustainable. And then again with Lawson, as I said earlier, you know, I think he's really good against the run, but is not a complete player as far as passing on.
Yeah, and you know, you don't want to sign one of those guys. You know, to I guess I worried about if we had signed Shaq Lawson to a 3-year, $30 million deal. I mean, Spotrac had him at like a $7 million or around $8 million a year contract for like 4 years, and I could see getting closer to that $7 or $8 million a year, but $10 million for 3 years, it just seemed a little too much. I mean, we already have one of those contracts already on the roster in Trent Murphy for a 3-year, $30 million contract. We already have one of those guys that's completely not performing to his contract. Do you want to add potentially another one to that mix? You know, I mean, it just screams like possibly like a Mark Anderson like contract. Remember Mark Anderson when the Bills signed him? We were like, oh, we're getting this guy that was, you know, potentially like, I see Shaq Lawson as that, like the Miami Dolphins signing him and then being like, okay, we got this guy at 6.5 sacks last year, and then not realizing that like that's his ceiling. Like they're like, well, he only played, you know, 40% of the snaps. You give him 80% of the snaps and he's going to have 10, 12 sacks. It's like, I don't think it really works like that, but you know, we'll see. Good luck to him. Good luck to both of them. Really enjoyed their time here with the Bills, and you know, looking forward to. I wish them both well, except when Shaq Lawson plays the Bills twice a year. Then I hope he does terribly. Gonna give a
squish the fish.
Squish the fish, exactly. Gonna give a quick T Public plug for our T Public store.
Three words for you: treat yo sell.
If you guys haven't checked it out, we have a You Dig T-shirt for the Bills trade for Stephon Diggs. It's a really cool design that our graphics designer for the podcast, Nick, put out. It shows Stephon Diggs wearing the number 14, pointing, and there's You Dig. Now, the You Dig is from the Josh Allen tweet after Stephon Diggs got traded, and Stephon Diggs retweeted that. It sounds like he's on board, man. It sounds like he's really excited to be here, hopefully. And you know, obviously with that, we released a couple of new designs as well. Another Circle of the Wagons designs. We have like 4 Circle of the Wagons designs, you know, just to go with our podcast name, Circling the Wagons. We have a couple of Buffalo versus Everybody designs that we just released this last week. And obviously our very popular Josh Allen Jumping Over the Haters t-shirt, Sean McDermott Trust the Process shirt. We have like 30 designs now that are designs you can't find anywhere else on the internet. It's at tpublic.com/stores/ctwpod. And, you know, you can get them, and unlike a lot of other t-shirt sellers out there, you can get any of these shirts in any color you want, any size you want. You want to get them in a t-shirt, you want to get them in a hoodie, you want to get them in a long sleeve t-shirt, you want to get them in a tank top. You can do that, man. You're ready for summer, man. Sun's out, guns out, get yourself a tank top of Josh Allen Jumping Over the Haters. You know, get ready for the summertime. Again, that site right now is tpublic.com/stores/ctwpod. And there is a 35% off sale going on right now where you can get $13 t-shirts. So if you're in the mood, you want to buy some Bill stuff, I'm very surprised at how much people enjoy these designs, because you kind of throw them out there. You don't know what people are going to think. And then, you know, we've got a lot of positive response from people on Twitter, on Facebook, and had a few sales since then. I really appreciate anyone that's bought them. So again, that store's tpublic.com/stores/ctwpod. Now, the other big news is Tom Brady signing a deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. John, do you remember if that's a 1 or 2 year deal to the Tampa Bay Bucs?
I thought I heard 2, but I can't be sure.
So I believe you're right. I think it's a 2-year, $60 million contract or something to that effect, where Tom Brady is officially, you know, I said this over Twitter, I'm not going to believe it's an actual signing until I see him in a Tampa Bay Buccaneers helmet and I see some other quarterback with a New England Patriots helmet by week one, because until then, I'm not going to believe that he's not in our division. But, you know, it was official. They showed him signing the contract. Tampa Bay Buccaneers Twitter account made it official. You know, it is official. Tom Brady is no longer in the AFC East for the first time in almost 20 years. John, how exciting, what are your thoughts in general? Are you happy that he's out of the division, or are you kind of wish that we had another shot at him?
I mean, he didn't look very good last year. I mean, what if they end up with somebody better?
Well, right now they have Brian Hoyer, I believe, as their starting quarterback in New England. So I think they're going to try to draft someone this season. But it's going to be very interesting, because this is the first season that Belichick and Brady haven't been together. So this is a true test for each one of those guys. Is Brady really the same quarterback without the best coach in NFL history? And is Brady the best, you know, is he the best quarterback in NFL history without Belichick? And is Belichick the best coach in NFL history without Brady? Because he's only had one season really in New England without Tom Brady as quarterback. And in that season, they went 11-5 with Matt Cassel, and they almost, you know, made the playoffs. And, you know, Matt Cassel, like we remember always seeing on, you know, stats on the game, he had never started a game since high school. So he managed to take a guy like that and go 11-5. So I'm really interested to see what the Patriots can do with that and see if they can do this the same thing this season without Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, the Pats did have a good defense last year still. I'm almost more, I mean, you know, they didn't have the receiver talent that they usually do. And I don't know. I do think the Pats are on a downward thing. Although I probably would say most of their success is probably more, like if I had to pick between Belichick and Brady, I'd probably say it was more so Belichick in the system that he was in. I'm almost more interested to see how Tampa Bay does with, because Brady, you know, Tampa Bay's got a lot of offensive power with, you know, the receivers and just that offense in general. I mean, it was a high powered offense.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know if Brady, you know, the only thing with, you know, comparing Brady with the Patriots for 20 years versus the Buccaneers, he's like 40, right? 40 something?
It's like 42,
he's,
I think.
He's already. Yeah, he's already aging. So, I mean, if he fails, I mean, that's almost expected, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm just glad the Patriots don't have Jimmy Garoppolo right now. They don't have, like, this guy that could easily be a starter. Jimmy Garoppolo was on a Super Bowl losing team. I mean, he is a legitimate quarterback. And, you know, now they have to find a guy or hope that a guy... This is a really good test for Bill Belichick. Hey, Bill, how good are you? Can you take Brian Hoyer to the Super Bowl, or can you take, you know, a rookie to the Super Bowl? Like, how good are you as a coach? And, you know, I guess I'm excited about this as a Bills fan. This is the time that the Bills could potentially win the AFC East for the first time in I don't know how many years. And, but there's a small part of me that kind of wishes that McDermott had beat Brady and Belichick once before, you know, once together, because they haven't done it in the six times that they played against the Patriots, you know, while McDermott has been here. And I'll always kind of wish that he had a chance to beat him, or that he actually did beat him, beat both of them together to say, hey, you know, we were better than them at least once with Sean McDermott and maybe even Josh Allen in that time frame. But unfortunately, they weren't. Does that bother you at all, or do you not care?
No, I don't care about that.
John does not care. Okay, let's do a quick salary cap update for the Buffalo Bills. The Bills started with $77 million in cap space. They were top four in league in cap space, and now they have roughly $26 million in cap space. So it should be interesting to see how they go throughout the rest of free agency. Roughly $5 million of that is left for draft capital. So now you're talking about, like, you know, $22 million or so. If you're looking at next season, they have about $84 million in cap space. So, but the thing about it, John, the way I see it is, if the Bills do need cap space for whatever reason, I mean, can't you just see them? They don't have to do it right now because of the way that they don't need to sign someone. I think at least at this point worth that money, but couldn't you see the Bills? The first sign where the Bills need any cap relief, they're cutting Trent Murphy, right? They save $8 million if they cut Trent Murphy. Like, they're gonna do that, right?
Yeah, if they need to, yeah.
I mean, that's the beauty of Brandon Bean. He does not need to do that. So he can keep him on. If for some reason someone gets injured, you know, Mario Addison goes down or something like that, or maybe, you know, they get into training camp and they see Daryl Johnson or Mike Love have taken the next spot or taken the next step in their careers as defensive ends, they just cut Trent Murphy then. They save the... I mean, but it really doesn't make sense for them to cut him unless they plan on signing anyone, because this is the last year of his contract, so he's done. So unless they need to sign someone, they need to make room for a big offensive lineman. So let's go right into that. What is the biggest need that they did not address in free agency that they will either need to address in, like, if somebody gets cut in free agency and the rest of free agency before the draft, or, you know, or in the draft itself? What position do you think that the Bills need to address in the rest of the offseason?
Offensive line.
Which is specifically anything, or just upgrade in general?
In general. I mean, obviously they've made strides this past year, but there's still work to do. Aside from that, you know, they got Diggs and everything, but, you know, drafting a receiver to, you know, receivers take a couple years to develop traditionally. Be good to get another receiver. Another running back for sure.
Yep. I'm surprised they haven't signed a veteran running back to this point, aren't you?
I was kind of either way on it. I could see them going either way. Maybe they just draft somebody, you know, in the fourth or fifth round, I think.
Well, they usually love to have their veterans in the room with these younger guys. I know Devin Singletary is not a rookie anymore, but they usually like to have one of those guys in the room with younger guys at that position, just to, you know, like when the Bills traded everyone away and they only had like Zay Jones as their wide receiver as a rookie, like they brought in Anquan Boldin. Like, they don't like to have those guys usually dependent on to be the guy without, you know, some veteran presence, it appears. Not just like 2 or 3 years, like usually like 5 or 6 years, if it feels like. Like when the Bills knew they were going to draft Cody Ford, they also signed, you know, Ty Nsekhe in free agency, knowing that they were probably going to draft someone at some point in the draft. Let's get some veteran presence there to either learn from or to, you know, ease into the position. Like, the Bills usually like a veteran presence, it appears, at a lot of positions. So I'm surprised they haven't signed anyone. But then again, there are some guys still available on the market. So I can see them still signing someone. So you said offensive lineman, you said running back, who else? Cornerback?
Let's see. What did I say? Lineman, running back. Oh, receiver. Defensive end. Still, I'd say.
Yep. Young defensive end. Young defensive end. Let's put that.
Well, if they're drafting him, then he's going to be young, right?
Yeah, yeah. Now they don't need to sign another veteran. They definitely need to draft a defensive end. Yes.
Yeah, I think mostly draft here.
Okay, mostly draft. Okay, okay. Because I was saying running back. I was thinking veteran, still free agent. But yeah, okay. Yep. Draft defensive end.
And quarterback.
And quarterback. Oh, yeah. Dude, me and you, man, you convinced me over the years that the Bills need to draft a quarterback every season. It doesn't have to be a high draft pick, right?
No, not at all.
They just need to draft a quarterback. I don't care if it's a seventh round pick. Like, that's fine. It can be a seventh round pick. They just need to get a guy every year. Because guess what? Like, if you don't, then you end up in the position the Bills have been in all, like, the 17 or 18 years before Josh Allen, when they never drafted quarterbacks. And then, you know, you look at teams that even have franchise quarterbacks and they still draft quarterbacks. You know, guys like how many years have the New Orleans Saints been drafting quarterbacks behind Drew Brees, even though he's still, you know, just signed it. He signed another 2-year contract extension up until he's 42 or 43. Like, they're still drafting guys just because, you know, hey, why not? Just in case, you know, you hit a lottery ticket, you can trade the guy, you know, outside your division, or, you know, he becomes the next guy. We don't know for sure if Josh Allen is the guy, so we should be drafting a quarterback every season. But that's lower on the list, I'm going to say.
Yeah, at the end of my list, yeah.
So the Bills basically brought back the entire offensive line from last season when they re-signed Quinton Spain. You know, left to right, they still have the same offensive line. I'm a little surprised that they didn't sign a free agent at some position to add depth. But, I mean, if you think about it, they basically did with, you know, taking Spencer Long's his club offer from being, what was he, an exclusive? I don't care. They brought him back for another season. Quinton Spain signed to a 3-year deal. They obviously like what he does. John Feliciano is back. Mitch Morse is back. Deion Dawkins is back. And Cody Ford / Ty Nsekhe is back. I'm kind of surprised they didn't re-sign Ladarian Waddle at offensive tackle. And They were a below average offensive line last season by a lot of metrics. And I think that kind of goes unnoticed a lot because they were so awful the year before. I mean, they were just terrible in 2018. So 2019, they're better, but that doesn't mean they're good. They're just less below average than they were the year before. So I think that they still need to upgrade that either with a second round pick in an offensive tackle or a guard or whatever you want. I feel like, John, if you had to guess, just throwing a guess out there, and they took that second round pick, guard or tackle?
Tackle.
Tackle. I'm going to say tackle too. I think they have a lot less. I mean, if they ever decide to make Cody Ford the right guard or left guard, or he becomes a guard, then that leaves that right tackle role kind of dubious after this season, because Ty Nsekhe is only signed till this season. So, you know, it's interesting. I Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
That's all I was going to say.
I was just going to say, yeah, plus, like, it's easier to convert a tackle to a guard when you draft them than trying to go the other way.
Yeah, yeah, good call there. Do you notice that the Bills, I heard that this was a very good conversation that was brought up by the Bills beat writers on YouTube, where they were saying that this is, a lot of these contract signings are within 2 or 3 years, which is basically the window that the Bills have before they really have to decide to give Josh Allen a big contract. You know what I mean? Like, isn't that interesting? If you think about it, with Super Bowl winners, like, you either have, it's almost like you either have Tom Brady or you have a quarterback on a rookie contract. And I think this is an interesting conversation because the Bills can spend in free agency because they don't have to allot. Like, if you think the going rate is like $34 million or so for a starting quarterback, a new contract for a starting quarterback, and, you know, the salary cap, at least right now it'll go up, but the salary cap right now for the NFL is $220 million. I mean, you're talking roughly a seventh or an eighth of your entire salary cap is dedicated to one player. So you think about the teams that have won Super Bowls as of late that aren't Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. You're talking Carson Wentz with the Philadelphia Eagles on his rookie contract. You're talking Russell Wilson with the Seattle Seahawks on his rookie contract, which he was a third-round pick. So he's making $700,000 a year and winning a Super Bowl. I mean, think about how much free agency defensive talent and offensive talent you can add when you're paying your quarterback under $1 million a year. Now, think about it. After the Russell Wilson, you know, contract signing where he's making over $30 million a year as a quarterback, the Legion of Boom dissolved. Like, everything, the defense wasn't as good as it used to be. They don't have as good at wide receivers. You know, Russell Wilson has to do more on his own. Offensive line isn't as good. You know, you're talking about a team that was, you know, it's still a perennial playoff team, but they're not as much of a Super Bowl contender as they once were. So that window to win a Super Bowl might only potentially be the next 3 seasons or so under Josh Allen, still in his rookie contract.
Go Bills!
So we had some cool giveaways last week. We did a John Brown signed jersey. We did a Levi Wallace signed jersey over Twitter. We did a the only winner that hasn't stepped forward is the winner for the Donovan McNabb signed football. So if you haven't had a chance to leave us a review on iTunes, please do. Just mention us once anywhere in the 5-star review on iTunes. Mention any of the other great podcasts on the network. Also, we know they do a lot of great work, so feel free to do that as well. And just mention us once, just so we know that you're in it, and you will be available. You'll be eligible to win any of the many giveaways that we do on this podcast. I'm just spending money, just giving away all this cool stuff that I happen to find for cheap on in these Bills auctions. So this new Donovan McNabb signed football, courtesy of the nice folks at Del Lago Casino and Resort, is AJ Tharp. AJ Tharp, if you are listening to this podcast, email me, ctwpod@gmail.com. Send us a direct message over Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you guys aren't following us on all those platforms, please do. It's a great way to keep in contact. I know there's a lot of people that only do Instagram, a lot of people that only do Twitter, a lot of people that only do Facebook or whatever. You know, just follow us. We're on everything as of now. I won't do Snapchat because I'm too old and it scares me for new technology. So I don't have Snapchat yet. We don't have that as of yet, but I'm sure, you know, maybe in the future we will. Again, there's been a lot of people that have won things. I have not sent out a lot of those things, and I don't know if it's going to happen anytime soon. I'm going to hopefully do it this week because I have to make a run out to drop something off of UPS. So maybe if everything isn't completely shut down in the entire state and country, and you know, I'll be sending those items out to you guys this week. I really appreciate your guys' patience with that. I know Darren won a couple of things, and a lot of other people have won things, and just haven't had a chance to send them out yet. So things are getting kind of crazy. Hope you guys are all staying safe out there, staying healthy, keeping your social distancing at a maximum, besides your family members, obviously. And man, this is it's a crazy time, but hopefully this is a good distraction for you guys as Bills fans as we talk Bills free agency. Now we're going to focus focus everything we have on the draft now, because you know what? It's funny. We didn't talk at all about the draft and mock drafts, players that the Bills could potentially pick up. And you know, this is one of the reasons, You know, besides laziness, I want to say, one of the reasons is because, you know, the Bills trade away the first round pick. All of the mock drafts people did, all of the thoughts and write, you know, articles that people have written about the Bills first round pick, it's just like all for nothing now because the Bills don't have a first round pick and they don't need a wide receiver now. So they definitely won't take that with the, at least I don't think they will with the second round pick. So, yeah, you guys all wasted that, all that time and all that thought and effort on that. So congratulations. In other words, we wasted no time and effort on it, but now we can talk about it fully. Second round pick, who are they going to choose? Third, fourth round pick. Let's talk about it. And we're going to do that from here on out. So I'm lining up some interviews with some really knowledgeable folks. We might jump in. I might have John and Mike jump in on a podcast to discuss it like we did today and go from there. So appreciate all you guys listening. So signing off for John.
SNI Championship.
And for me, Nate, go Bills. Thank you guys for listening. Stay safe out there. Keep up those social distances. And we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod @gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
From data privacy to the future of TV, retail media, and beyond, the world of digital marketing is constantly in flux. So how can you keep up? Well, the Current Report is there for you. Each week, marketing leaders on the cutting edge give you the latest insight. So if it's creating a buzz, they'll be talking about it. Subscribe to the Current Report wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this podcast came from SAS. Data is everything. And now everything is data, which means more to process, more to analyze. And now more than ever, speed to answers matters. So how do you produce those answers as fast as the world produces data? With SAS Viya, the quickest way from a billion points of data to a point of view. It's a more productive data and AI platform that helps you get more done. Learn more today at sas.com/VIYA.